Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
Created all things, and for thy pleasure they are created. Thou art worthy, thou art worthy, O Lord. O we thank you this evening, our God. We appreciate you for bringing us together. We give you glory. We give you praise. Thank you for your spirit that is already in our midst. Thank you for the understanding of your word that you will grant to us today. Thank you because you will give us the revelation of your word in a way that will benefit our lives. And at the end of this program, glory, as usual, will be given to you. Thank you, blessed Holy Spirit, because the devil is under our feet, and your spirit is taking full liberty. In God's name we pray. Amen. Amen. We bless God for this evening, for bringing us together this way. I want to thank our father and our mother for asking me to come around. Though we have never met before, as my brother said, it is not very usual that such an approval should be given. So it goes with a lot of confidence. And I don't take it for granted at all. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you. God bless you in Jesus' name. I want to thank my brother. We've been together. I got to know him 2008, I think. Yeah, it should be 2008. And then we've been friends. On Facebook, once in a while, we chat like that. And when he told me about this program, I said, the Lord will make it a possibility. And I'm happy for coming around to be part of it. And I know that God always has something for his people. And he is going to bless us in Jesus' name. All right. As he said, my name is Reverend Justin Gbadigesin from Assemblies of God Church. I was National Director of Discipleship the last month when I was now overseas at Princeton. So, thank God because the body of Christ is one and we are together to his glory. Hallelujah. We have read a very instructive passage of the scripture when Solomon expatiated that there is time for everything under heaven. A time, and he began to list those things one by one. Now, the concept of timing is a concept that came later, because at the realm of God, there was no time. And even when God made the angels, he did not subject them to time. You know, and that's one of the reasons why it seems the case of Satan became difficult to deal with. Because he wasn't given time frame of living. If Lucifer was given a number of years to live, if he was under time, when he misbehaved, it's just a matter of waiting for him to finish his time. And then things can start all over. But that concept of timing his creature was not there at that time. And so the angels were made at that sphere. And so those who chose to stay with God, they remain with him forever. And those who stay, who chose also to be enemies, also became enemies forever. And so when he made man, man also was given that privilege, but in a different way. It is said that God had impossibility of dying, impossibility of sinning, an impossibility of failing. So, but when he made man, he didn't give him that. He gave him the possibility of not dying, the possibility of not sinning. That means the ball was in his court. But as far as God is concerned, he cannot even do it. But as for man, he has a right to choose to either do it or not. And you realize that after the fall of man, God made a statement. He said, let's remove them from here and remove the tree of life, lest they eat it and live forever. And so that means there was, he wasn't given a blanket pronouncement of living forever, the same thing that happened to the angels. But there was a process that when he lived in the garden, perhaps in the mind of God, to an extent, and he was faithful in all his ways, he was doing everything that God demanded without failing, then there was possibility of God giving him the tree of life so that he would live forever. But since he failed, God said, okay, let him not reach his out to this and then live forever. So man brought himself under time from that realm. And if you go through the Bible, you will see that the thing was going down from the era of patriarchal longevity, they were coming from where they could actually live forever. And so when they sinned, they still live for so many years. You are hearing 900 and something years, 800 and something years, 700 and something years. And within that time frame, God made another statement that my spirit will not strive with man forever. Imagination of his heart is just evil continually. So let me cut down this time that I've given to them. He says, so the years of his life shall be 120 years. So he brought them from that place down. And so they began to live all through the scriptures. We now fell under time. And a lot of things happened. Then it became a challenge for man to really key into God's timing for him. Because the complication here is that God's understanding of his timing for us is more individualistic than generic. A man's classification of time is more generic than individualistic. That is why we will say that, how old are you? I am this year. Your mate supposed to have, because we generalize it. That, I mean, within this range to this range, this should happen. And then within this range to this range, this should happen. So within this range to this range, this should happen. which is not bad, which is normal. But if you now look at God's own way of planning our lives and usage of time, it varies from one person to another. So it became a challenge on our part as individuals now to understand God's timing for our own life individually. Let me bring an example before we go to the scriptures. When Job was tempted, humanly speaking, the issue with the temptation of Job was time. Because if somebody who is grown up already, with grown-up children, who were already living in their apartments, in various apartments, now, if all of them should die one day, now, even if God should say, let your children die, I will give you another children. The question will be, with my age, when are you going to give me another set of children? And when will they grow? Because in the generic understanding of time, Job ought to put himself within the range at which his mates normally die. And so he will now look at, for example, within a context, let's say a man of 65 years to 70 years old, who had children within the range of 30 years, 40 years, and 50 years, and then the temptation is such that those children would die. And God is saying, don't worry, I'll give you another set of children. Now, the problem of the man will be, when will those ones grow and then get to the level of these ones? But the issue there is that the person who allowed these things to happen control time. And so, if we now study the account of Job, you just realize that the temptation of Job was like when somebody pegged time when the attack started and said, we're not reading time from this time henceforth. And so Job went through all the challenges. At the end of the day, he got other children, and God was so meticulous about it, the same number of children, the same sex of children. And the Bible now says that, and Job lived to see his children's children up to the fourth generation. So that means when God was allowing those things to happen, since he controls time, he knew that Job was not going to lose anything because he's in charge. Is in control. So, in this meeting, we'll be looking at various aspects of this, and I'm going to begin today by looking at understanding divine timing. Understanding divine timing. Understanding divine timing. Tomorrow I'll be doing some explanations of what we mean by time, what we mean by season, and all the rest. Exodus. Chapter 4. I'll read from verse 1. I'm supposed to take it from chapter 3, but I will explain those ones. Then I'll go to, let me go to 3. Let me go to 3. From verse 1. One day, Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. This is amazing, Moses said to himself. Why isn't that bush burning up? I must see it. When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush, "Moses, Moses." "Here am I," Moses replied. "Don't come any closer," the Lord warned. "Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. I am the God of your father, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." When Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. Verse 7. Then the Lord told him, "I've certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I've heard their cries of distress because of their ass slave drivers, and I'm aware of their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. It's a land flowing with milk and honey, the land where the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites now live. Look, the cry of the people of Israel has reached me, and I've seen how harshly the Egyptians abused them. Now go, for I'm sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people, Israel, out of Egypt." But Moses protested to God, "Who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt?" God answered, "I will be with you. And this is your sign that I am the one who has sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God at this very mountain." But Moses protested, "If I go to the people of Israel and tell them the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, they will ask me, 'What is his name?' What should I tell them?" God replied to Moses, "I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my eternal name, my name to remember for all generations.'" Now, let me build the foundation of what transpired here, and then we will now move to chapter 4. We are looking at understanding divine timing. I've done a foundation that we have our own general way of looking at time. We can categorize that this is the time this is supposed to happen, this is the time this is supposed to happen, and we are not wrong. But as far as God is concerned, he deals with us individually based on his own program and plan for our lives. And we need the presence of the Holy Spirit to now help us to understand that mind of God. And it is not once in a lifetime thing. That's why Jesus did not say, "Give us our daily bread all the days of our lives." No, give us this day, you know, a program that will make us to keep coming. Total dependence, depending on him in taking every step. That is what God is looking for. He didn't make man that would be a God in his own right. You know, he wants a being that would depend on him even for the minutest plans and programs of his life. And of course, you know that the fall of man is traceable to ability of man to think that he can take certain decisions. If to say that man depended on him on everything, even when Satan brought that suggestion, they would have asked him. You know, but man felt, "This one, I can use my initiative here," especially based on what seems to be a new life that is coming from another person. So he just went ahead, and having done that, God now appeared and said, why have you done this? And that's the beginning of sorrow. So God expected us to depend on him. Even in the New Testament, Jesus, he emphasized us daily prayer, daily coming, daily receiving from him. And so, in the case that we have here, the foundation of this was God had a plan. After the fall of man, God began to deal with man in various ways, trying to see the best way to bring him to himself. In the Garden of Eden, he introduced conscience to him to be able to guide his ability to do what is right and wrong. But the time came in Genesis chapter 6 that conscience could no longer control him. Conscience became seared. And so man became evil perpetually. And so God established a government that will make laws for them on what is right and what is wrong. But that one also could not help them. And so eventually God chose a man, Abraham, so that if the whole world could not be brought under the control of righteousness, God decided to pioneer a nation that will live for him and do his will. And so when you look at the call of Abraham and all the challenges that went with it, God promised him, I'm going to give your descendants these cities. These were cities, so they weren't inside bush. They were cities like we have in Akure. I mean, people were there. There were owners of the land, aborigines, living, doing everything fine. And God was now promising a stranger that I'm going to give you this city, the land of the Gigasite, land of the Perizzite, land of the Canaan. I mean, all these people were human beings living, you know, in their various places. And God was now promising that place to a man. Now, such a man needed to know God's timing. It's not enough to hear the promise. Now, you need to now know, when will that thing be? And so, in the following up of this promise, if you come to Hebrews chapter 11, you now realize that all the patriarchs live in the promised land as tenants. That is, Abraham, the same land that he had walked up and down, and God is saying that all the land that you have marched, I have given you all the land. You know, it's just like you're walking through Akure now, and people are doing their businesses, doing whatever they are doing, and then God said, I have given you this place. It's yours. The other city there is yours. That side there is yours. The other one is yours. And this man that God was addressing now rented a place and put up a tent. As a tenant, he was living there, looking forward to the promise. Now, in the course of looking forward to the promise, expecting the promise to come, God now made a statement. One of the days after the issue of establishing the covenant, when God even brought himself down to enter hold with Abraham, and God now gave him a hint, your descendants shall be slaves in another man's land. For how many years? 400 years. And at the end of the 400 years, I will do what? I will now bring them out, and then they will come and inherit this place. That is divine timing. Now, if promise does not go with the understanding of divine timing, there is going to be depression. And when we accuse God wrongly. And I love the way the patriarch trusted God. Isaac was living in the tent with the father. But every day, as they talk about Yahweh, Abraham would tell him, Isaac, you see all these cities, we are just strangers here, and people know that we are strangers. But in the real sense, we are the owners of this place. Daddy, what are you saying? We are the owners. But why are we tenants here? The time of our possession of this place has not come. But he who has promised us is faithful. And so the Bible says, Isaac ran his own life also inside that place as a tenant. When Jacob came, he began the journey there, which is another long story. But at the end of the day, what God said eventually happened. And so the author of Hebrews shed light in what was in Abraham's mind. That since God has promised us a city that we are going to dwell in, that God is faithful. Now, when Moses, when the time came for God to now fulfill this promise, and this is very crucial, the children of Israel who had understanding of this program were looking forward to that time when what God said will come to pass. In fact, Joseph, before he died, also made that statement. He said, I will die, but God will visit you. And he will take us to that place that he has promised our ancestors. Where you are going, carry my bones with you. These are statements of faith. So when this time now came, God was working. And there was a tradition in Egypt. The tradition in Egypt was that for anybody to be Pharaoh, the sitting Pharaoh must have an intercourse with his daughter. And the product of that union is the only one who has the legal right to the throne. So by implication, as at that time, the son of Pharaoh cannot be Pharaoh. That's a normal son from his wife cannot be Pharaoh. But the one that comes from that incestuous relationship is the only one that was qualified to be Pharaoh. So a time came that when God was about to fulfill what he said, that was the time the Pharaoh made a law. We know that every Jewish male child must be killed. Now, according to history, there was a problem in Egypt at that time because the Pharaoh's daughter that time was barren. And so she was desperately looking for a male child to save the throne. And for you also to see the hand of God in every event, there was also a culture that, because the Egyptians believe in River Nile, and so there was ceremonial bath that Pharaoh normally have. He would go to that river and bath. When he has done his own, the daughter also would go to the same river and bath. Now, that was where they kept the baby Moses. But whenever Pharaoh passed, with all the entourage, there would be noise of chariots and everything. So it was enough for the baby to cry at that time. But Moses didn't cry. Because the world is not existing on his own. Somebody is in charge of the activities that happen in this world. So no matter the noise, chariots, and everything, the baby remained calm. And so Pharaoh went, took his bath, went home. But when the daughter, who was desperately looking for a boy, came around, the baby cried. Because God was working something out. And that's how Moses was taken to the palace and became the son of Pharaoh's daughter. It was like a top secret. But the direct son of Pharaoh knew that this guy himself does not really have the right, but because of the way this whole thing looks, it will be the next Pharaoh. Now, we know the story that the mother of Moses took care of him and all that. And so Moses had the understanding that God will raise a deliverer for the people. And so that is having the understanding of your life assignment without knowing the timing. And so that led Moses into taking laws into his hand to do the work without being sent at the wrong time. And we know how it ended. He was expelled, because they wanted to kill him. So he ran away because the secret, he was the one who even leaked the secret. When they say, "Oh, Prince, Your Majesty," a time came, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. This is a secret that is well guarded. And then when you say, "Oh, Your Majesty, you are welcome," he said, "No, I am not an Egyptian. I'm a Jew." Can you imagine that type of thing? And so when you warn him and say, what type of madness is that? Well, now you are saying, don't say it again. Tomorrow, it will still go out and say the same thing. "Yeah, I'm not. I'm a Jew. I am part of these people." Because he was not ashamed to call himself their brother. So that led to disaster, and he was sent out of Egypt. And then we know the story. He stayed with Jethro. And one of the days where we read, he became a shepherd taking care of animals. And in the course of doing this, he saw the bush burning, but the grass was not consumed. That is how God draws our attention with things that we are familiar with. By the training of Moses, the Bible says that he was educated in all the wisdom of Egypt. Now, the wisdom of Egypt involves Egyptian art and magic. And by the magic of Egypt, Moses himself could cause fire to burn, but the grasses will be consumed. So that's the highest of the training he had. So one of the days, now, God decided to do something that was beyond his training. And so the bush was burning. There was nobody there who could have put fire there. And so Moses said, "Wow, who is doing this thing that we normally do here, in this place?" And so he walked towards the place, but he saw something different from what he was taught. The grass remained the same, despite the fact that the bush was burning. And so within him, he said, "Wow, this is different. This is strange. This is greater. Who is doing this?" And then the person who was doing it called him, "Moses, Moses, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And that tells us something, that somebody was told that God placed you in the palace and you are going to be the deliverer of the people. And he tried to do it and it ended in disaster. Don't you think such a person will be looking for that God who made that promise? And said, "But they told me that God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob said he would deliver the people. And now that I'm trying to do it, as my mother told me, it has landed in disaster. Where is that God that I've heard so much about?" And so on that day, God introduced himself to him. "I'm God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob." Now, that thing that you rush into that time, it is now time. So, when God speaks, he speaks as the Almighty God. Most of the things that God says We need to patiently understand the details of the instructions. And when we have the understanding of the instructions, we will also know the timing of the actualization of those pronouncements. And that will make, that's why it will now say that it makes all things beautiful at their time. Not before their time, not after their time, but at their time. So God now told him, now it's time for you now to go there. That thing you entered that time, it wasn't the time I'm sending you. I'm sending you now. So you go there. And we see all the arguments. I cannot go. I will go. So this is the background. Now, let me now strike the point I want to deal with tonight, and we are going to pray. Chapter 4. Verse 1. But Moses protested again. What if they won't believe me or listen to me? What if they say the Lord never appeared to you? Then the Lord asked him, what is that in your hand? A shepherd's staff. Moses replied, throw it down on the ground. The Lord told him. So Moses threw down the staff, and it turned into a snake. Moses jumped back. Other translations say Moses ran away. Now, what is our understanding of this? Don't you think that this thing that happened here, Moses had never seen it before? Talk to me now. Don't you think that way? Why do you think Moses ran away? Huh? It's strange to him. You know, God said, you have dropped your staff. He did. And as he dropped the staff became sharpened. And then Moses ran. Now, if it was what Moses was used to, he would not run. Are we together? God does not only have understanding of our timing, he also has understanding of where he is sending us to. And he prepares us to be adequate to the challenges we are going to face. Before Moses left Egypt, as the next Pharaoh, he was trained in all the magic of Egypt. As at the time Moses left, magic had not grown to the level of staff becoming serpent. And now, Moses now will be sent to the palace of Pharaoh, where his fellow magicians were still operating in that place. God, who is always timing in his understanding and in his dealing, he knew that the Egypt that Moses was going, things were no longer the way Moses left them. It has been a journey of about 40 years. So many things had changed in Egypt. And so God gave Moses current revelation of the peak of challenges waiting for him. So when God said, yeah, drop yourself, and he did, Moses ran. God said, come back. Oh, yeah, pick it. I know that is not going to be a very easy one. He picked it from the tail. You know, the meaning of picking it from the tail before the thing turned, I will escape. So it shows that it was so new to Moses. And so he picked it and it became staff again. And God told him, go to Pharaoh now. Tell him that you have met with me and I want the people to go. Now, with other conversation that follow, Moses was going out with boldness. Why? Because he had something he thought Egypt did not have. When Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail over the church, is a language of conflict. And where you use that type of language is where the whole thing looks as if the other one will win. I don't know whether we understand it now. It's not like Nigeria is want to play Brazil, something like that. And then you now say, everybody have concluded, we have lost the game now. Then somebody now say, don't worry, everybody, as you are looking at this game, Brazil will not win. That's the statement Jesus was making. I will build my church. Though at every time on that time, it will look as if the gates of hell is having upper hand and that it will swallow the church. But in the future of what I'm putting down, the gates of hell shall not. And if you look at it, it didn't say gate. It said gates. That means when we defeat hell now, hell has not gone finally. He moved back and regrouped. The temptation of Jesus, the Bible says, and the devil left him. My own translation here said, he left him until another opportunity. KJV said, he left him for a while. That is, it's like wrestling. Many of us have watched wrestling before. Or even boxing. And when they box, and they after one round, they go back to regroup. So the spiritual fight is like that. And that is why we don't spend so much time celebrating the last victory. Because the gate of hell is preparing for the next one. The danger is this. The church must always be on our toes because it's a contest. Any nation or anywhere that the gate of hell is faster than the church, either in invention, either in understanding, either even in divinity, is a problem. And so, it is the responsibility of Christians of every generation, of every time, to make sure that in their own day, the church has upper hand. So Moses held the staff. To him, he has done what no one else in the world knew. And so he went back. You know, when you are holding something, you are sure, if I show them this one, they will know, say, I am not joking. And so he went to Aaron, his younger brother. We are going to Pharaoh. Pharaoh, brother, what are you talking about? You know, that one was older. Have you forgotten? He said, don't worry yourself. They will kill us. They cannot do it. You see this thing I'm holding. This is the latest. I know everything Egyptians, magicians can do. I was their leader before. But this one I'm holding here is fresh, but was it not fresh? It's fresh from above. So let's go there. And so with that confidence, Aaron followed. And then they went to the palace of Pharaoh, and like he has told the brother, let's calm down first. Let's beg first. I will not drop the thing anyhow. Let's beg first. It is when he become adamant, I will now tell him that level has changed. And so they got there. The Lord God of Hebrew has met with me, and I'm here now. That thing that couldn't happen that time, I'm here now to deliver these people and to take them away. And Pharaoh was like, are you out of your mind? Do you know where you are? You are saying that in my presence. Who is that God that can deliver out of my hand? And of course, you know, Aaron will be painting the brother. Say, brother, we are wasting time on this thing. Drop it. Let's show this man. He thinks we are joking. And Moses will say, no, this is the last joker. Let's keep it. Let's see, follow. Let's see, follow. And then they follow like that until the patient, they ran out of patience. They say, drop this thing. And we will not, if they cry, we will not hear. And then Moses said, okay, you will know now that something else has happened. Blah! And the thing became serpent. And Pharaoh looked at the whole thing like child's play. Say, huh? So what does this one, what is so special in this one? What does this one teach us? Is this what you rely on? And you are coming? Oh, who is there? I'm the one, sir. Are there some magicians at the court here that just for anybody? Because what Moses saw as the latest, any common magician in Egypt could do it. Now, even the preaching of this gospel that we do, have you observed that some modalities don't work again, but they work at a time? Somebody asked me recently, he has not been seeing Jesus' film, burning hair, and people will gather there. I said, now they will not gather there. That even if they gather there, they will be correcting the actors. Say, no, they shouldn't do like that now. It's supposed to. But these were the things that at a time we will watch and be crying and be weeping and giving our life to Christ and say, hey, because the whole thing will look so real that it's like we are going to hell. It's like we are going to hell. So it worked at this time. Now, if that is everything we still rely on now, we are joking. Number two, that time it worked. Those who had TV in their houses were very few. Many of you will not understand that in a community, there may not be more than three or four. So all the children will gather to watch the black and white TV, which start by 4 p.m. You know, everybody, the whole crowd will food their children. If you are looking for your children, you will be going to those places who had those few TV. Now, because of that deprivation, so when you see correct TV colored that time, normally young people will gather. It is no longer so. Even the gate of hell has stepped up. And so we cannot stay there. Say, it worked in the 70s. We will remain there. No. For the gate of hell not to overcome the church must always be at the cutting edge also of whatever the devil is cooking. So that when it comes out, we are already there before it comes. One of the challenges we have now is that for whatever reasons, we are just struggling to catch up with him. Social media, all the new invention, it seems to get there before us. And so it is then we wake up and say, their evil has taken over. Let's also move there. It shouldn't be that way. Jesus didn't plan it that way. And the Lord will give us understanding in the name of Jesus. Now, so they drop it. And they say, how many magicians? Some are there. Call them. And then the magicians came. He said, they should come with their staff. And then all the magicians came in with their staff. Sir, your majesty, we are here. Gentlemen, you are welcome. This old man has just done this. He think it is something. Show him that he doesn't have the monopoly of it. Blah! All of them dropped their staff. And they all became serpents. If you are Moses, what will you do? Now, if you read this place, God did not tell Moses that the Egyptians would do the same. Moses would have asked, if they do the same, what should I do next? You know, God, Moses don't believe that he's the only one who would do it. The rest would just be crying, save us, save us. Then he would say, no, have you agreed that I should carry my people now? Have you agreed? Then Pharaoh say, yeah, have I agreed? Have I agreed? Then he would take you by the tail. And then he would say, if you change your mind, I will drop it again. That's what Moses was thinking. Now, so when they drop their own, I know Aaron will move to his brother. And say, brother, so what do we do now? Then Moses also in confusion with myself, I don't know what we're going to do now. So, he didn't teach you any other thing we can do. He said, no, this is the only thing I can't recall. Like Nigerian grammar, this is the only thing I can't recall. And then everything was there. But God took it over from there. Because when he says, go, I am with you, he is actually with us. You know, because it wasn't Moses that gave instructions to his serpent. Moses didn't say, oh yeah, my serpent move. No, someone else controlled the serpent. And the serpent of Moses moved. Took those ones one by one, swallow all of them, which is not normal. Swallow all of them, and the size of his own serpent did not increase. It was still the same, because all powers belong to God. And then he picked it. Where am I going? We must have understanding of our generational season. And if we stay with God, He will give us the blueprint of how to reach our own generation. There's an assumption that this generation don't serve God. They don't believe God. And so you see other generation of believers keep dreaming of the past. I don't know whether we keep saying, no, we don't know what is wrong with these ones. We don't know what is wrong with these ones. No, before we were committed, before we were devoted, before we were, the difference was that. That before that we're talking about, the church was above the gate of hell. Now, the gate of hell has devised several means, but God also has a way of reaching out to this generation if we go to Him. Because seasons change. The world does not change. And so, that the world does not change does not mean that seasons and times are not changing. And the world is potent and active when it is delivered within the framework that God has designed for that generation. Jesus said we cannot put the new wine in an old. That means we need to now, having gotten the new wine, we now need to look for a new container that will carry the new wine, then it will balance. So God spoke to Moses, as He has spoken to several of us, giving us assignment about our lives, our purpose, our destiny, what we are to do. The next thing is, when will all these things be? That's what you find in the scriptures. Jesus said, my time has not come. But your own time is always now. I was sharing with someone this morning. I said, there are some things in the Bible that look irreconcilable, but they are reconcilable. The Bible says, and Jesus could no longer walk publicly for the fear of the Jews, because they wanted to kill him. Now, that statement, that verse of the scriptures, tend to project Jesus as a coward who is running away from death. I don't know whether you see what I'm saying now. He doesn't really, and this same person before that time, he said, nobody takes my life from me. I have power to lay it down, and I also have power to take it again. Now, if somebody who is making that very powerful statement is now hiding somewhere, and say, why are you hiding? Say, I don't want them to kill me. It doesn't tally. But Jesus was teaching a lesson there, that even death must have his own time. And any death that occurs before his own time is not the will of God. Whereas he came to die, but he came to die at the right time, so that he will accomplish the purpose of that death. Not just dying in the name of, I have come to die. Something that looks similar to it. Jesus was born. Herod wanted to kill him. And then normally the people that God gave the child to, they want to kill this boy. You will not expect the Almighty God to say, take the baby and run away. It doesn't look like a statement God will make. This baby we are talking about is Almighty God in his right. And now, the man who is threatening this boy is just a mortal man that God can say, die. And the man will immediately die. And now God says, even if it's a prophet that comes with that type of mercy, nobody will believe it. That God says, we should carry the baby and not even run away, leaving the country. Is that what the Bible says? They should leave the country totally and go to Egypt. He said, go and hide there. Stay there. Now, the same God eventually killed Herod. So you will now say, but why asking them to run away? Why can't you do it now, since you have the power and ability to do it? And that's the being that we are dealing with. That means we cannot give him the logic of the time. We can't say, God, this is the best time you should ask. This, if you don't act now, you don't fail with that. This is the only time your name can be glorified. No, we are not in charge of that. He is the only one who knows the right time to do what he should do. So this lack of understanding is what makes many believers to leave Christ today. They just feel, if God cannot do it, why? He's supposed to have. No, our God is not like that. And we must know him, know his ways, and we will always be at the right place at the right time. And God will help us in Jesus' name. Now, let me take the other scriptures, John chapter 5, and we're going to pray. Now, John chapter 5 is a very popular scripture. It's a story of a man who was sick for 38 years. And we are told that an angel used to come once in a season, trouble the water. And once the water is troubled, the first sick person to enter, what will happen? It will be renewed. I pray God will grant us understanding now. Let me ask, who was sending that angel? Who was sending that angel? God. That means the pattern of healing God had for a particular time was sending of an angel into the pool. The angel would trouble the pool. The first sick person to enter there will receive healing. There is something that shocked me here. And that's what we will look at, and we're going to pray. This represents old revelation. Let's say old revelation. Now, the coming of Jesus represent new revelation. The old revelation was scanty in its reach. It's just the healing of only one person. They will wait again till next year, next season. Everybody will be warming up. Those who have people, their people will be around so that they will quickly throw them into the river. Even if 10 people enter, the first person to enter is the only one who will be healed. For that man to be there, for how many years? 38 years. And then Jesus started ministry. It was almost 30 years. That means for over 30 years that the new revelation has been around, the old one was still working. Now, when that happens, it becomes difficult to know that the new one has come. If the moment Jesus was born, the angel stopped coming, the Jews will be on the lookout for why God stopped the coming of the angel for healing, and that what is the new way of receiving healing. But almost 30 years, the sound of righteousness with healing in his wing was already around. The Lord of the angels, who was sending the angel every year, himself was already around. But the old revelation was still working. So, even when Jesus was already going around, performing miracles, as we saw in John chapter 2, turning water to wine, healing the mother-in-law of Peter, people were still at the old pool, waiting for angel. The conflict you see all through the scriptures is inability to understand God's revelation and operation per time. The Jews, the fight the Jews speak with Jesus were legitimate fight. The only thing is that they didn't know that the system had changed. All those demands they were making, they weren't the one who planned it by themselves. These were the things that God commanded that they should be doing in the wilderness. And so the Jews were carrying out legitimate orders that have outlived their time. That means a man may think he's in the will of God, and that what he's doing is what God wants, and it is the Lord who asked him to do it, but that thing that he wants to die for has expired. And so even up to the time that Jesus went to Calvary and died at Calvary, even after Calvary, till today, Orthodox Jews are still slaughtering ram. Because to them, when the ordinary lamb changed to the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, they were not aware. And so people can be busy. The elaborate Judaism is still going on. People are busy. This is what God said we should do. And they are doing it with all their heart, but they are sincerely wrong. And so the pool was still active. The pool was still working while Jesus was already everywhere. Healing that is not subject to once in a year. God has moved from that. But people still remain there. That healing is only once in a year. And then healing was moving about in person. Among men. And people still somewhere waiting for once in a year. When the activities of God about your life, you are not at the center of that circle, you will be busy. You will be doing your best. You will think you are sincere. But where you expect God to act, he will not act there. And you will blame him. So the Bible says, and Jesus went to the temple. And when he was entering through the Solomon's porch, he met them there. All kinds of invalid people still gathered there. At a time that those who have taught the revelation were now laying their own sick people wherever Jesus will pass. And there were several places, the Bible says, at the cool of the day, they brought all the sick to him and he healed many of them. All of them. Now, when all those great revivals were going on, some people were still at the Solomon's porch, waiting for angels to come once in a year. God should not be operating all around and you are exempted. A great revival should not be going on with the understanding of the current move of Jehovah in your generation and you are hearing it from afar. That is not God's plan. So it is God who controls the timing. But our spiritual consciousness is like an antenna. Should be able to receive the signal that this is what God is doing now. And then we will be able to key into what God is doing. And it is then we pray according to the will of God. And that's why the scripture says we don't even know how to pray. But the Spirit of God helps us. Why? The Spirit knows the mind of God. And that's why when a believer in prayers, which most of the time because of our limited understanding, we pray amiss. Someone who should be praying against an accident that will happen tomorrow, he is not aware, is praying for blessing. And so when he yields to the Holy Spirit, in the midst of that prayer, he begins to pray in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit changed the prayer to the actual prayer that should be going on according to the mind of God at that time. And that's why we see miracles that we felt we didn't even pray for it. But we actually pray for it, but we didn't know when we do. So we must understand God's plan. Yield to it. What is God doing now over my life? Where should I be going? What should I be doing now? And so when Jesus met that man, Jesus read that place, he didn't make any reference to the former revelation. Do you want to be made whole? Even when the man started the story, made whole, okay. I have no man. You don't understand. It is by having man this thing work here. We know the way to work. It can't work outside this knowledge that we have. You must have men that can fix you. This is the pattern. And so, why I remain here for 38 years, my offense is that I have no man. So when the water is bubble, there's nobody to carry me to enter there. Now, Jesus didn't talk about the angel. He was one sending. He didn't talk about the water. He is more than the water. He said, do you want to be made whole? And right there, he said, yeah, carry your man. Start going. We have left that elaborate system of healing where all of you will gather and it is once in a year. This is a new pattern. Now, the Bible is silent on what happened after that. But I used to ask people, if in your presence somebody came and is not that angel,
And he announced that his own healing is not subject to time. And he demonstrated it in your presence. And you are also sick. What will you do? Because after this chapter, you don't hear of this thing again all through the Bible. He closed the healing center at the Solomon's Porch. And that is how the new revelation swallowed the former one. God is dynamic. And so we should yield ourselves to that God. His word does not change. The operations changes because the church is in a context. And so God knows this is accurate. And he knows the season this city is in. And because he has the understanding of the season this city is in, he will raise his church to be able to provide solutions that meet the need of the now. And that is the operation of God. So to every one of us, the question is this. What has God said to you? Have you been able to pray more to get further instructions over that? Because it's important. There is no peak of knowing God. The higher we go, the more we discover we didn't even know before. There's a place in the scripture, I don't know if I will touch it, the last plague, second to the last, the last plague, when Moses went to Pharaoh and said to Pharaoh, both of them had heated argument. Pharaoh said, don't see my face again. And anytime you see my face, you will surely die. And Moses said, I will never see your face again. But tonight, God will pass through Egypt. And all the firstborn of Egyptians will die. Beginning from your own firstborn, who is sitting on the throne. And there is nobody who will hear that announcement and will not react. That it will not happen. My son will not die. And the Bible says, and Moses left his palace in a great anger. Now, every of the previous nine happened the way Moses pronounced them. But this last one, the following morning, nobody died. Because the moment Moses came out, God met with him and said, this thing you said there, it will happen. But there are things we need to do first. Get back home. Wait till the 10th of the month. Gather the house of Israel. Tell every family to separate a lamb. They should keep the lamb for 4 days to be sure that the lamb is healthy. At the end of the 4 days, it's now 14 days now. Then you will sacrifice that lamb. Put the door, the blood, on your doorpost. Make sure everybody does it. When you have now done so, it is there. I can now pass through Egypt and kill the firstborn. The reason is this. If it has happened the way Moses said it, even the firstborn of the Israelites would have died. So when God changes what we think is our timing, it's to our own advantage. You shouldn't say, oh God, why did you? Because it looks like putting somebody to shame. And you say, by this time, this night, you're not going around. And then you left the place. God said, no, we are not going to do it like that, though. In fact, the next 2 weeks, nothing. And he left in a great anger. You know when somebody leaves in anger and say, yeah, we will know who is in control now. And then God said, no, it's not that way. There are things we need to do first to, before that thing will happen. Now, it looks shameful, but it is not shameful because the master knows better. devil, when it seems it does not follow our projected timing, he has the best time in his command. Our own is just to yield to him and see him carrying out every of his instruction over our lives. And we will see that everything, Bible says that none of his word fell to the ground. But each of them will not happen because we are in a hurry. It will not happen because we command. You know, sometimes we feel that if we order him, you know, there are some prayers like that. Do if you don't do. No, God is above for all those ones. If it accidentally happens, it means that he has purposed in his mind that it is that time it will happen. So we need understanding of divine timing. That is what we are looking at tonight. What has he said to you? We must yield to him to do it at his own time. And that's our first prayer. Where has he sent you to? Which assignment has he given to you? He knows the challenges. And we must also be patient with him so that we get the code for that assignment that he is sending us to do. I read the story of four young men, Yale University. They were to take the gospel to Ecuador, the place we call Ecuador now. You know, and they had prayed all through when they were in school. God gave them that assignment that they are the one who would do that job. So it was a place the people were so bad, terrible, they keep people at sight. So it's a ministry that took them so many years of preparation, because to even learn the language was a difficult thing. But they went through it all. And God kept telling them that I would deliver the Aucar Indians. I would save them. But 1965, the day they enter into that territory, after several years of using helicopter to drop goods, to drop tracks and all this, the first day they entered, they were all killed. All the five of them were killed. And when they were killed, American government became angry. And they wanted to go and level the place. But the wives of these missionaries told the American government, God has promised that he's going to save this nation. Irrespective of what has happened to our husband, we know that God is still at work. Because his word is true. If you go and kill them now, they will all go to hell. Then what God said will no longer come to pass. Leave them alone. And then their wives took over the mission's work. Elizabeth Elliot led the team. When the wives entered, the people were carrying sword, killing at sight, became sober. And they preached to them. And the old outcasts gathered at their square and gave their life to Christ. And the man who pulled the trigger to kill the five missionaries became the pastor who baptized their children. And so American government honored Elizabeth Elliot for that heroic act. But it happened because of understanding of the message. Understanding of the instruction. So when he feels that what God said failed, it has not failed. It's just that the time has not come. It will still come to pass. So I don't know what he has said to you tonight. And everything around you is saying that this thing cannot be. God is true. Our own is to understand his ways. He made known his ways to Moses, but his acts to the children of Israel. So when we have understanding of his ways may, he may not follow the way we think. I read a story, Joseph Babalola had an assistant who was also a very powerful man, but the man was sick to death. Babalola had prayed. prayed, has anointed, the man remains sick. All the great evangelist prophets, they have gathered, fasted 30 days, the man remains sick. They have begged God, the man remains sick. They didn't know what to do again. But God kept saying, I've healed him. And they said, God, you are saying you have healed this man. If God will heal in this generation, we are the vessels. And we have tried all we know, nothing happened. And you are still saying. So one of the days, they were going through a village. And the man also followed them. So when they got to that village, they met a young pastor. Pastor in a very small church of less than 20 people, a branch of their church. So the young man ran out. No, this pastor who will come from the farm. Ran out. It's just like you see your geo. Ran out. Say, ah, Baba. And God spoke to him and said, this is the man who will pray for him. The young man who just jumped out of farm. And then he said to the young man, God said, he has reserved the healing for this time. And they told the young man, what do you think I should do? Say, lay your hand on Baba and Baba will be in me. Yes, you. And then the young man came. So, and the man became healed instantly. We must open up to follow him. He knows the way through the wilderness. That song I started with, did the Holy Spirit give me understanding of that song? My perspective about everything changed. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. What's the next one? For thou hast what? Created all things. For whose pleasure? Himself. So if you look at that song, we are not even involved. We just exist for one person. It is only the pleasure of that only one person that is considered. We live for him. We exist for him. Now, whatever brings him pleasure is what he allows. And so we must grow to the level that we don't struggle with him anymore, because we live for his pleasure. And when we grow to that level, everything will happen at his time. Our Lord Jesus was able to say it is finished because he was sure it is finished. At the time, he said, don't you know that he remained 4 months? So he followed the program of the Father to the letter. Everything was happened the way it should happen. Even when he was to be killed, he said, for this cause I was born. Unto this end, I came into the world. As we yield to the Holy Spirit, he's ready to go. I will instruct you and teach you the way you shall go. I'll counsel you with my eyes upon you. Others will be agitated on your behalf, but you will not. You will be at peace. Because he has spoken to you. He's in charge. He's in control. Don't you know that time is going? Eh? The one who controls the time. He says that time is not going. Let's bow our heads for prayers tonight. Somebody controls the time. And we must yield to him. And allow him to have his way. We must allow his spirit to open our eyes and understanding. To know what God is doing. When it seems he is unconcerned, he is walking. When it seems he is not even hearing us, he is hearing and is concerned. J- Job said, he knows the ways I take. And when he has tried me, I will come forth like gold. That revelation is show you he meant it. Circumstances around you may be proving otherwise, but faithful is the one who has spoken. That prophecy on your head is true. That word you have received from the servant of God in this church, that word is true. But I have not seen it. He's in charge. He will bring that word to pass in his own season. You must be consistent. You must continue to follow. Speak to him tonight and say, Lord, I thank you because you are in control. You are in charge. My times are in your hands. What you have said, you meant it. The revelation is true. The prophecy is true. The word is correct. The instruction is true. Help me tonight, oh God, and all the days of my life to yield myself to you, so that I will be what you want me to be. Maskapa li kushi talika boshi talike satoli mari kapasa tayaba. Laski talike shigeri moshi toye palika sentoli mori kesata la baba. Give me grace, Lord, to trust you. My time, you know it all. There is no delay in you, because you control the time. Help me to follow you, blessed Holy Spirit. So that your will is done at every step of my life. Thank you. Lake pushi to lima kesa to lima rapa shanda la bakuria.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocesis every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.